Beloved friends, we welcome you to the ministry of God's precious and His holy word. We welcome you to that book of books, the Bible, which reveals God in Christ to our hearts. By the teaching of the Holy Spirit, we thank God for this wonderful book we can possess. Today we commence a study in that epistle of Christian experience. It was written by Paul the Apostle to the beloved people of God in Christ at the city of Philippi. We call it the Epistle to the Philippians. It is a letter pulsating with Christian joy from the beginning to the end. You'll find the repetition of those words again and again, joy, rejoice, and rejoicing. They are so frequently mentioned. The letter could be called the Epistle of Christian Experience, for it denotes to us and reveals what is and should be the normal experience of the Christian life. But let me make a careful discrimination to all my listeners about this fact by saying, we who are Christians, we may have to confess at times some experiences of life could not be called Christian experience. In other words, is there not a distinction between Christian experience and often the experiences of a Christian? Are there not occasions when in humiliation we Christians have to confess certain actions or words that we have spoken were not Christ-like in their character? So as we study Paul's letter to the Philippians, let us keep in mind that the epistle from the beloved apostle's heart is one of his own personal testimony. The revelation of what Christ his Lord and Savior was in controlling his life. Do remember, it is one of the prison epistles written by Paul when he was a prisoner in Rome. And it shows to us, though he was in prison for the testimony of his Lord, nevertheless, he was still enjoying Christian experience. For Christ was the center as well as the circumference of his life, even there. Shall we not summarize our whole introduction of this epistle in one word? Please may I emphasize it. The word is Christ. For the very simple divisions, chapter by chapter in this letter, confirm the fact. May I give you a very simple outline of the whole epistle, emphasizing the teaching of each chapter. In chapter 1, the key verse I'm sure could properly be stated. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. Revealing the controlling principle of the apostle's life and what should be the controlling principle of the Christian life for every believer, that controlling principle and purpose is Christ. What greater, what better purpose could a Christian live for than to say truthfully, as Paul did, for to me to live is Christ? In chapter 2, we have a key verse in verse 5, where Paul writes, let this mind be in you, the humble, the lowly mind of Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here he declares so perfectly the pattern for the Christian to follow. And in the verses that continue, he certainly describes the pattern in detail. How the Lord Jesus lived in his lowly earthly life as he lived in this world, he alone is the perfect pattern or the example for the believer to follow. No other person, whether great or small, good or bad, should ever be the believer's pattern for his or her life while upon the earth. Did you ever sing the old hymn and the words that I now quote from it, my fellow believer? The desire that expresses how we should long to live. The poet wrote to say, "Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus, all day long. I would be like Jesus." What a blessed desire to pattern the life after his lowly, humble life upon the earth. In chapter 3 and verse 14, we have another key verse. Paul saying, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul here declares the ultimate, the final goal, the great prize ahead for the Christian is to be with Christ, his and her Lord, in glory above. To see him, and not to see him as he was upon the earth, but to see him as he is. No longer the lowly man of Nazareth, the despised man and crucified man of Calvary, but to see him glorified, a Christ glorified in heaven above. Did not John the Apostle write, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." No, John did not say we shall see him as he was. Though that lowly life is the pattern for you and for me to live by while here upon the earth, the glorious goal and the prize that we shall reach is to see him in heaven above, glorified, resplendent in glory forever. An exalted and a glorified Christ, the supreme objective and the goal for the believer's life. At the end of it all, the end of life's journey, what is the greatest goal? Yes, I know many of us are looking forward to seeing loved ones, delighted with the prospect we shall be reunited with those who've gone before us. But, oh, greater than all is the joy of seeing the Savior himself, the Christ in glory. Then in chapter 4, we have another key verse. 'Tis found, I believe, in verse 13. Where Paul wrote to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me," or "who empowers me." May I add, and truly it is right, all for all the believer's life upon the earth, in all and through all your circumstances and mine, the strength and the power for Christian living, daily living, must be Christ. I cannot live a Christian life without him. So again, as we summarize, by the way of introduction to this epistle, one precious word, one blessed name, that is the secret of Christian experience. That word and that name is Christ. Let me repeat the outline of the letter again. Chapter 1. Christ is the purpose or the principle that controls and should control my Christian life. Chapter 2, Christ only is the perfect pattern, the true pattern to follow for my Christian life. Chapter 3, Christ is the prize, the ultimate goal for me to look forward to at the end of my Christian life. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide and the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and a smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him. Blessed be God, though glorified, the print of his nails in those blessed hands will ever remind me of that one who died to save me, now glorified, will receive me to glory too. He's the prize at the end of the Christian life. But let me not forget, while chapter 4 declares it, Christ is the power for my Christian life. Without him, I cannot live the Christian life as he would have me. Perhaps there's some listener that does not have Christ. No one can live a Christian life until they have Christ. You, my friend, can receive Christ today, this very moment, and become a Christian. May I say what it means to become a Christian? I quote the words of John in chapter 1 of his Gospel, verse 12. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege, or the authority to be called the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. What does it mean to become a Christian? It means I receive Christ, his blessed person. That is the true meaning of believing. It is not merely a mental agreement concerning him, though certainly there's some truth to believe about him, but I receive him, the very person who died for my sins and bore the penalty. My beloved, if you're unsaved, why don't you receive him? I do not invite you to join the church. I do not invite you to meet the preacher. I do not invite you to do anything upon the earth by way of any effort. I say, will you not open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I will receive thee as my Savior today. Then you'll have a new purpose for living. Then you'll have a new pattern for living. Then you'll have a new prize for living. Then you'll have a new power to live a Christian life. Oh, blessed Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by thy Spirit sanctify and bless thy word to every believer's heart and to every unbeliever's heart and soul. For their salvation we ask, in the Savior's precious name, amen.